And welcome back to another episode of Slow Burn. Sup, listeners? Jeff?
Hey, sup? Man. What's going on, Steven? It's good to see you again.
It's always great to see you, like we don't see each other every day. fooled you guys to thinking that Lori was listening to get you, you know, to listen to this episode. Ha! Fooled you. Prank is on, baby. The prank is on. So, we wanted to do this episode because we wanted to talk about all the teasers that were coming out and all the trailers coming out and all the movie announcements, because there's a million.
So many.
Like, so many. I think one of the reasons Jeff brought it up right before we started recording was that DC fandom, fandom,
yeah,
whatever
like
it's called, happened last Saturday. So we got a bunch of DC trailers, but then we also got a few trailers that were not DC that also look good.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Jeff, let's hop right into it.
Let's do it.
So one thing that has is not a trailer at all, but I did want to talk about it because it went so viral. I saw it, I think, about a week ago. I mean, how many times did I text you to watch it, Jeff?
Oh, the whole weekend, probably 20 times.
I told Jeff so many times to watch it. It took him forever to watch it. But it's called, if you look it up on YouTube, it's nothing, like, it's not like by a production company or anything like that. It's just called Robin Test Footage.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically tells a story or shows a Robin Williams impersonator, pretty much, playing the role of Robin Williams in, I believe it was 1982?
I think that's right, yeah.
It was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And just shows kind of the moment that Robin Williams found out that John Belushi died. It's a very... I think it was so went so viral because Jamie Costa, the actor, who is actually a known impersonator of Robin Williams, looks just like a young Robin Williams, sounds just like a young Robin Williams, and he's playing, it shows him in the Mork and Mindy trailer, and he's doing the Mork thing that Robin Williams did, you know, and he's so animated with it, just like Robin Williams was during this time, and I think that's one of the reasons it went so viral.
It's pretty incredible. I actually didn't even realize what was going on because, you know, I don't really get on my phone, so I didn't know.
You don't live viral. On social media like me, Jeff.
Yeah. And the thing is, it took me like 2 minutes to realize what was going on, that this wasn't actually Robin Williams.
I mean, it looks just like him. Like, and again, he plays the character so well. He sounds like him. He's able to, you know, kind of lower his voice to that whisper that Robin Williams does when he's like get serious in movies. And I think a lot of people clamored for it because obviously I think I haven't read anywhere of why they did this. I think more so than anything, it was to prove the concept would work of a Robin Williams biopic with Jamie Costa playing the Robin Williams character.
Yeah.
And I think everybody, after watching this, it went super viral. I think everybody watching this is now wanting a biopic of Robin Williams.
It's going to happen.
It has to happen after this. And I think what's so good about this, too, is it shows the dark kind of side of Robin Williams and what he was going through in the 80s, just in this brief, I think it was 5 minutes, trailer. And I think everybody wants a deeper understanding because Robin Williams is such a loved actor and comedian, and anything he was in, you know, everybody loves it. So it's I think, of an understanding of what his brain was doing at the time and different things like that. And obviously it alludes to, you know, John Belushi died of a drug overdose. And it alludes in this trailer that Robin Williams was hanging out with John Belushi when he had a drug overdose. So it alludes to maybe Robin Williams having a drug issue in the 80s. I'm not really sure of all the Robin Williams history. I'm just going off of the trailer and what I've read briefly on this.
There,
you know?
But yeah.
A lot of speculation by me, but that was what I got out of it too, was that getting a different side of Robin Williams than the public eye has always seen, which everybody has that curiosity of, you know, what he was like other than just in front of the camera, because, you know, and it's obviously going to raise some mental health things too, because just because, you know, you have a character like Robin Williams who in front of everybody else seems like the happiest man, should be so happy, is a comedian, makes everybody else happy and laugh and everything like that. But then obviously behind the scenes, completely different story for him. So I would be very excited if they did a biopic.
I think most people would at this point.
I think so too. I think it would be raise a lot of curiosity and interest and make a lot of money.
I mean, obviously a very beloved actor and public figure that his life ended tragically, so
definitely, if you haven't seen the test footage, go watch. It's 5 minutes, go watch it. It's the Jamie Costa does a brilliant job of playing Robin.
Yeah, it's excellent,
and you get that emotion too, just very you get his funny side and his emotion with it too.
Yeah, check it out.
So I already mentioned that DC fandom happened. I'm gonna say fandom, but
I think that's it. Yeah,
it's It's spelled Fandome. Why?
Who knows?
but the biggest one, I'm going to start off with the biggest one, and then we can go down the other DC ones. Yeah. But the biggest one, the latest Batman trailer drop. Woo! I'm so excited for this movie. I think Jeff is too.
I can't wait.
I told Jeff, and I've told everybody that who I've seen it or who hasn't seen it, that this is the most excited movie that like it equals my level of excitement for Dune, which is coming out this Friday. But
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It equals that level of excitement for me. Matt Reeves directing. Jeff, I'll let you do the synopsis of this trailer that you saw, since I just did the last synopsis and talked the whole time for the Robert test footage. Yeah, I'll let you kind of explain this.
We've talked on the show before about how superheroes are not, you know, that subgenre is not my favorite. Most of them, or a lot of them, I don't really dig. But this right here is exactly what I'm looking for. This is a noir detective story wrapped up in a comic book movie. And Robert Pattinson as Batman looks incredible. Paul Dano is the Riddler.
Paul Dano, great creepy guy.
Man.
Like, sorry, Paul Dano, maybe you're a cool guy, but great creepy.
Oh, he's character. A great actor, but he's always creepy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Every movie, he's a creep, and it's creepy.
He's amazing. But... Zoe Kravitz is in this.
Playing Selina Kyle.
Yeah. It looks, and the cinematography in this is mind-boggling. Michael Giacchino's score, it's insane. Oh my God, it's so good.
I think we talked about it. It's the same song. So this is actually the second trailer that's come out. Or I guess the first one was really a teaser trailer, and this is the actual trailer.
Yeah.
This is the same song they used for the first one, and I absolutely love it.
The Something's in the Way.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know what it's actually called. Yeah. I know the Nirvana cover.
I love the like dark, deep it's undertones perfect. That it it's provides so and like you said, it's detective noir, so it's less so more of the Marvel superhero, less so of that, more of the dark. It's you get closer to the Dark Knight trilogy than anything else to me as far as that goes. And then I'm also really loving that you're gonna have the Riddler, the bad guy, the villain in this movie, played by Paul Dano, like you said, who is gonna be like a Saw-like character, who's making his victims play through these tormented, demented scenarios.
Yeah.
And I wish it was like rated R. I wish they would go like full on, you know, like almost horror with it, like a Batman horror.
Oh man.
Which it's a trilogy, so they might, like, depending on how this movie does and everything, they might go it all in. I hope they do, and just give us like the dark, scary, creep out kind of Batman that would be awesome.
But as you know, Robert Pattinson's one of my favorite actors, and just him as Batman has me so hyped. I think he's going to kill it. It was a great choice.
Yeah, I think everybody really likes his voice as Batman, too, that you hear in the trailer. And then this, too, when we got with The Dark Knight, and we got with Ben Affleck Batman. The Ben Affleck Batman, obviously, he's an older Batman. He's been doing it for, you know, decade plus or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight has been doing it for a few years. You obviously, in The Dark Knight original one, you get to see his coming of age story or whatever, however you want to say that.
Yeah.
Origin story is what I was looking for there. But this one's supposed to be Batman in his second or third year of doing it. So it's early on Batman.
So young Batman,
yeah. And it's more of, you really get a sense that he is still on the vengeance tour. He's still on the, like, he's pushing the line of where he stops.
Yeah.
You see him beat criminals almost to a pulp in this teaser.
Yeah.
And so you get that kind of deeper struggle with Robert Pattinson portraying Bruce Wayne of how far is he willing to go? Because at this point, it still feels like he's just trying to take all his anger out on any criminal ever.
I am vengeance.
Exactly. Yeah. And you get those classic lines. And then you also have Colin Farrell playing the Penguin.
That's sick. He's so good.
So... I'm super excited for this.
I can't wait. Dude, we didn't even talk about the final shot of the trailer.
I was just about to say that. The final shot.
Man.
Oh my gosh, Jeff.
Yes.
That is you chef's say. Kiss. That's what we do on this show. Chef's kiss. That is. I know that obviously they set it up just for that final shot to be like everybody freak out about, but what a perfect shot to freak out about, you know?
It's so good, man. Oh man.
I love the lighting in this trailer too. It's very dark. Very like, you know, and you have that one scene. I'm going to break down this trailer shot by shot, apparently, but it was so good. But you have two shots that I want to talk about real quick, and then we can be done with this trailer, because I could talk about this for the whole episode. The shot where Batman, you see him light a flare and lead like a crowd of people through this very dark tunnel-like thing. And
yeah,
I mean, so speculation is that that's one of the Riddler's traps that he has all these people in, Batman trying to lead him out. golly, I hope that is the case, because
oh yeah,
oh my gosh, that would put me on the edge of my seat. And then obviously it's so dark that you just see the lighting from the flare, nothing else. Mm-hmm. So that shot was great. The other shot, which this is so like, it's all these kind of criminals or villains or whatever you want to call them, and then you just, it's dark and you just see the criminal's face, and then you see like Batman's silhouette like rise up mm-hmm. from below them, like,
yeah man,
that dude, gets you pumped if nothing else.
Dude, Matt Reeves is a great director. He recently did the recent Planet of the Apes movies, mm-hmm. and I actually really liked those a lot. And he did
James Franco one, or I guess he was only in the first one, right?
Yeah, can't remember, to be honest with you.
He was in the first, well, yeah. in like the newest Planet of the Apes. Yeah. He was in the first one, but
I gotcha. But and also we have like the most intense shot of a coffee mug ever. It's the camera just like, you know, tracks forward and then comes up to the question mark.
Yes. I mean, like you said, the cinematography in this looks next brilliant. Level. So very, very excited for that. That was the first DC trailer, and again, we could go on for that for days, but we'll stop there.
Let's stop.
The other DC trailer, or I think there was three more that dropped. Two of them are teaser trailers, just brief shots. First one I want to talk about, because it was such a quick one, was the Black Adam teaser trailer. This is, of course, The Rock playing Black Adam. It's the Shazam spinoff coming out July 2022. What'd you think?
To be honest with you, this is not a movie that's been on my radar at all. Like, I knew about it, but there's no real hype for me going into this, because, again, you know, we've already talked about it. This is not my favorite subgenre.
Yeah, DC,
I don't know much about this.
DC, a lot of the time, has just been, their history has not been good. So yeah, you can point to, obviously, you can point to, like, The Dark Knight, Wonder Woman. Yeah. I guess The Dark Knight's not, I mean, it is DC, but it's not, like, this new DC.
And I don't think Joker technically counts. I don't know.
Yeah, again, it's technically DC, but it's not really DC. They're not doing the same, I don't know, I think most people right now is thinking of DC as like the trying to be Marvel, but just not quite there yet kind of thing. I mean, I didn't watch Shazam, so I wasn't like super excited about that either. That wasn't like, those are like the side superheroes that aren't like, I don't know, childhood favorites of anybody that I know anyways. Like, you know of them, but you weren't like, oh my gosh, Shazam's my favorite superhero. Oh my gosh, like, I love the Shazam storyline. It's just kind of like, it's there.
And it's The Rock, so a ton of people are going to see it.
It's, and it looked, it was, I don't know, maybe 30, 45 seconds of a teaser trailer.
So quick, yeah.
And it was literally just Black Adam looks like he appeared, and a militant group is the one who made him appear, and then they try to kill him, and then he instantly zaps one of them.
Yeah.
Is all it was, pretty much.
Pretty much.
But it raises the question, maybe a dark superhero movie, like an anti-hero kind of thing. I really don't know the story of Black Adam. I know he's kind of an anti-hero, like he's a villain, but he's not, like, I really don't know, to be honest. Part of me remembers that him being like Shazam's, like the Joker to Shazam's Batman, you know, kind of thing.
Okay.
But then part of me remembers that he was kind of an anti-hero and helped out sometimes.
Yeah, I know nothing about him, so.
There you go.
Sorry.
You're welcome for
that's
our listeners.
That's what you listen to the slow
that's
burn
That's why
for.
You listen, is for this kind of this kind of critique.
This insight,
yes,
man.
This insight that we have here. Okay. The other one that we can talk a little bit more about, that at least I think we both know a little bit more about, the Flash teaser trailer comes out. This is the Ezra Miller Flash from, obviously, from Justice League. Is, I think, the only time he's been Flash.
Yeah.
But
and director's cut. Don't forget. The Snyder cut.
The Snyder cut. There you go. Well, the Justice League and then Snyder cut, yeah. I guess. Yeah, that's what he was in. and then you also have Ben Affleck coming back as Batman. Then you also have Michael Keaton coming back as Batman.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't give you a hint, this is a time travel movie. Because The Flash, his comic book kind of story, is always revolved around him being able to kind of time travel, using equipment to time travel, running so fast that he can go back in time, go forward in time, travel multiverse kind of things, because he can be that fast. That's kind of how all his solo stories go anyways. So obviously we get the Michael Keaton Batman. It looks like from the trailer we get three different versions of the Flash, maybe less, maybe more, kind of thing. November 2022?
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Ezra Miller, like, at all, to be honest with you. Not really sure why he was chosen for Flash. And
yeah, I know a lot of people who, obviously, the Flash TV show on the CW, any fans of that were very upset that Ezra Miller was chosen to do the Justice League, and then also that he was picked to do the solo Flash movie, because a lot of people wanted the TV Flash to be the one.
But
I have not either, but I'm not a big CW DC person either.
Yeah, haven't seen any
of those. They're kind
of
just cheesy to me. I've seen bits and pieces, but they're just kind of just they're corny. They're like the Adam West Batman, you know? It's like
yeah, a good comparison. You know what I'm saying? Ezra Miller's the worst part of Justice League, honestly. Wow. I'm not saying something.
Wow. And I kind of liked his goofy little comedy.
I don't know, man.
I guess that's the Marvel in me, though.
But hey, nothing wrong with that. A lot of people do like him, but I will say it's not a good sign when the biggest part of your trailer is not even the main character. The Batman reveal.
Yeah,
it's the biggest part of the trailer.
Yeah, like, but it's the Michael Keaton Batman.
I mean, I get it, but still.
You get the pointy ears.
It's still. The pointy ears.
I mean, that's how you knew it was Michael Keaton. I mean, that's how you knew. But yeah, it's... I think it'll be a good movie. Time travel multiverse thing for superhero fans is always going to be big. Yep. So
it worked in Endgame.
It did work in Endgame.
Very
and
well.
We're going to get it in the new Spider-Man movie coming out for Marvel as well, which everybody's hyped about as well, so... You know,
yes,
DC copying Marvel again. Hey. So I think the last DC trailer, so that'll wrap up our Flash. And again, these are teaser trailers, so they're hard to really speak on much because they just show very little. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much a voiceover talking the whole time, and then you see obviously time travel, multiverse aspects of it, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we're not going to do one of those 35-minute YouTube videos breaking down everything in the Flash teaser trailer.
No, not teaser trailers. Maybe for the Batman, but. The last one we had was the Peacemaker trailer. This, of course, is the Suicide Squad spinoff series coming out on HBO, dropping January 13th of next year. This just shows more of the character of Peacemaker, and I think it kind of gives him a little bit of an origin story of how he came to be and everything like that. I'm going to love this series. I mean, this is right up my alley. It's James Gunn directing it.
Is he doing every episode?
So it says from the director who brought you, you know, it's the James Gunn thing that he does at the beginning of movies, you know? So I haven't done research into like every single episode, but I know he's at least a big part of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Maybe he's just the creator. Maybe he just wrote it and then somebody else is directing
it. Or executive producer, something. He's involved. Yeah.
He is involved. I love James Gunn. I love the movies he does. And then it's still somehow every movie he does is an ensemble kind of movie or
that's his thing,
show.
Man. That's his thing.
It is, but he does a good job.
Yeah.
He's good at it.
You gave Suicide Squad a 98. Don't forget.
Well, why'd you have to bring that up? Anyways, I mean, it's just a goofy kind of the same humor as Suicide Squad and you get the same kind of violence and it's an HBO. So you get to pass that line and everything like that. But I love James Gunn's comedy. So I think that'll be.
This will be a show that I probably do not watch.
And imagine you not watching a TV show.
If
Jeff.
I do, I'll watch two episodes and not finish it.
Yep. Sounds about right. You'll probably watch one episode and then you'll be like, you know, it was good.
It was pretty good.
Never see it again.
It happens.
It's the Jeff thing.
I got movies to watch.
But I'm very excited about it. I think it'll be very entertaining.
Yeah.
It's in the same vein in which we talked about with Suicide Squad of the Deadpool kind of humor of violence, but kind of funny.
Dude,
and you get that like softer side of John Cena too.
Yeah. He is really good in the movie. I liked his character and I had no idea that it was coming out this soon. I mean, January, that's right around the corner, man.
I didn't think so either.
It's
but
crazy.
Trailer came out DC Fandom and here we are, January 13th, 2022. Okay, well that will wrap up our DC stuff from the DC Fandom, or at least all the ones I saw. But while we're still in the superhero vein, Marvel did release a new timeline for 2022. So I did just want to mention that to the people. The listeners, all for the listeners, Jeff. So basically, it's just the delays. That's all it is. But I did want to keep everybody updated on what's coming out because I always forget when and what is coming out. So this is their upcoming next year slate, and I guess a little bit of 2023 as well. So Doctor Strange just got delayed. I believe it was supposed to come out in March. It got delayed to May 6th.
The Multiverse of Madness.
Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. Yes, that's May 6th, 2022. And then we have Thor, Love and Thunder, July 8th, 2022. Yep. That's your guy.
Taika
Waititi. And then we have Wakanda Forever coming out November 11th. That'll be interesting because it's obviously not the late, great Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, so sad.
Very sad. And then we have The Marvels coming out February of 2023. And then we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, coming out in July of 2023.
Crazy.
Which that one's going to be the... I feel like that one's going to be a big Marvel coming together wrap-up story kind of thing. Like that one's going to be the big one. You know, that's like the, you know, Endgame or Infinity War was like the one they were shooting towards, the one they were building up towards. I feel like Quantumania is going to be the one that they're really building all these other stories up for this year and next year.
It's a pretty sick name. You can't have a name like Quantumania and it not be huge.
That's true. But just looking at all the other movies and seeing how it's like last is going to be. Mm-hmm. Which then again, I guess Ant-Man and the Wasp was, I think, last before Endgame, wasn't it?
I think you're right.
Yeah. I think it went Infinity War, then Ant-Man and the Wasp, then Endgame. So, and that was the last one, but it really didn't do anything other than give us another little spinoff into Endgame. That wraps up our Marvel, basically just delays. It's pretty much all it was. But hey, that's an update on when those movies are coming out. The next one. We'll actually not talk about the one you're most excited about yet. We'll wait on that one.
Make me wait.
Okay. We'll do that one last. So the next one, the Being the Ricardos teaser trailer drops. That is I guess it was Amazon Studios that did it.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, and it's dropping, I believe you said December 10th?
That is for the theaters, and it'll have a limited theatrical run, and then it'll be on Amazon Prime on December 21st.
So December 21st. This is the story of Lucille Ball and Desi. Is it Arnaz?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. I'm going to pronounce that, butcher that. But it's the story of their marriage and their careers as they are filming the I Love Lucy show, which, of course, is a huge hit show. And Lucille Ball is a huge, lovable actress and has all the charisma and everything like that. But it's kind of gives you a deeper background into how their marriage worked through it. That's what I got from the teaser trailer. It's very brief.
Yeah.
It is Nicole Kidman playing Lucille Ball and Javier Bardem playing Desi Arnaz.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with them, too. Javier Bardem from No Country for Old Men.
Yep.
One of the best performances of the
century. Skyfall.
And Skyfall, yes.
He's good great. Villain. Good He's villain.
sure is.
You said Aaron Sorkin directing?
This is written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, who's one of the most... maybe the most famous screenwriter alive right now. He did The Social Network. He wrote that. David Fincher directed it. And recently, like, he just wrote and directed The Trial of the Chicago 7, which was nominated for a bunch of Oscars. And before that, he did Molly's Game, which I don't know if you saw that, but it was kind of a hit.
Heard
as well.
Of it, but I didn't. It's I didn't pretty good. See it. I didn't even see I knew The Trial of the Chicago 7 got nominated for a million things. Mm-hmm. But
he's known for his fast-paced dialogue. It's people talking like faster than they can think, you know,
which is The Social Network is what I
exactly.
think of.
And he loves the walk and talk, have characters walking through scenes as they have these intense discussions, so it'll be fun. I really do like the behind the scenes of the golden age of television, the original.
It kind of, as I say, it does give you a background of how the I Love Lucy show was shot. Mm-hmm. Kind of a dramatic, I guess, retelling of it kind of thing.
I love anything behind the scenes, so...
Yeah. I mentioned this to you, Jeff, and I think it was before you saw the teaser show, and you're like, I'm not really into it. And then you watch the teaser show, and you're like, wow, this looks like something I'm going to love.
I'm an idiot. This looks great.
Okay, well, that will do it for the I Love Lucy background story, behind the scenes story, that's what that is.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and get into it. The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Woo!
Trailer. Yes. I guess this is just a teaser trailer coming out. It's actually just coming out on Apple TV Plus, so it's an Apple TV movie.
Well, it is hitting, I think it's hitting theaters on Christmas
Day. Is it limited
Day.
Theaters?
It's limited.
It's limited theaters nationally on Apple TV.
Yeah, and we may not even get it in Alabama. It might be like a LA
kind of, it looks know. Like it's going to be an LA type of thing.
But it's on Apple TV in January, I believe.
Okay, so it actually hits theaters Christmas Day, and then, okay. It is Denzel Washington.
Yep.
And Frances McDormand.
Yes.
Who's just hot off an Oscar.
She is a 3-time Oscar winner for Best Actress.
Wow, I didn't know she won it 3 times.
Yep.
What else she won it for? I know she won it for Nomadland.
Yeah, Nomadland most recently. I cannot remember the
others. Okay, yeah. I thought she only won Nomadland, so there you go. Frances McDormand, 3-time. Well, I don't know how many times Denzel Washington has.
I'm not sure.
Or if any.
He's great, though.
This is why you listen to the show, for this insight,
for this
people.
Insight you get. Yeah, all the stuff you learn.
But it's a Joel Coen film.
It's fascinating when you say that, because the Coen brothers are some of my favorite directors, and typically when they make a movie together, because of the DGA rules, it'll say directed by Joel Coen, even though it was both of them, because you
really
can only do one name. But for this one, it is actually just Joel Coen. Ethan, his brother, is taking a break from filmmaking, ironically, because he wants to work in theater, and the first film Joel Coen does without him is The Tragedy of Macbeth. But there's also the connection of Frances McDormand, by the way, is Joel Coen's wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They're married. They've been married. And she was in his very first film ever, Blood Simple, which might be my favorite Coen Brothers movie back in the 80s. So it was young Frances McDormand.
Okay.
So obviously the history there.
So. Interesting. I didn't know that about the Coen brothers either. I thought it was always.
This is why you listen to the Soul Burn,
baby.
This
is why. Now we actually got some.
We actually have something for
I actually brought something out of Jeff's brain there.
Finally. It's hard to do.
It's very hard. There's a lot going on
in
there.
It's an empty place.
Or nothing all at the same time. But yeah, I didn't know that that was a rule that you only could put one name. Because, you know, obviously when you watch a Coen brothers film, it'll say, like, you know, on the trailer or whatever else, the Coen brothers film. So
yeah,
it won't say, like, I guess that's the rule, though, for...
I'm not sure of all the
rules. Documentation, maybe?
It really depends on different factors. Like, there's this one directing group. It's three people that direct. And since they can't use all three of their names, they go by Radio Silence. They did that movie Ready or Not recently,
yeah,
and they're doing the new Scream, actually.
Okay.
So it'll say directed by Radio Silence because they couldn't put all of their names on it. So
gotcha.
Kind of interesting.
Okay.
But this trailer, every single shot, you could just screenshot, and it looks like a painting.
It does. It so does. Artistic. It's very, and it looks almost like they just built a big set for Macbeth, and then they're filming on a big set. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It doesn't look.
Yeah. I love that, though.
It doesn't look real, almost. You know what I'm saying?
It looks classic Hollywood.
I love it.
And they have this monochrome and this 4:3 letterbox aspect ratio, black and white, just like the Lighthouse.
It's black and white, yeah. It does have a very Lighthouse-like...
Well, it's A24 as well. Same studio.
Okay, there you go. It does have a very Lighthouse-like look to it.
Dude, the Coen brothers are, like, again, some of my favorite directors. I can't wait to see what Joel Coen does without his brother.
I like the Coen brothers, but... You know how I feel about black and white, Jeff.
I know, you're wrong, but it's fine. If this movie, if I had known it was coming out in 2021, it would have hands down been in my top 5 anticipated. No doubt about it. I can't wait.
I mean, I'll watch it probably, but I'm not like, you know.
It's going to be so good.
Again, we went with the Peacemaker is something I'm going to love, and you're probably going to be like, eh, it's there.
Right.
Tragedy of Macbeth is something you're going to love, and I'm going to be like, eh, it's there. So there you go. That's the difference between me, you and me.
You get it all here.
It's very artsy, very, like I said, if you've seen The Lighthouse or seen any trailers for that, came out, I think, 2 years ago, a little bit over 2 years ago now. It's very similar. Okay, well, that will do it for the trailers that dropped, but we do have a little bit more news coming out. I saw that The Eternals, it just had their Hollywood premiere. Just for anybody out there, just wanted to go ahead and say this. Watch out for all the spoilers being posted. Apparently, this is one of those. It's very rare that it happens for critics or people going see premieres that do spoilers, but apparently this one is like a huge one that everybody is spoiling, especially with the... Apparently, there's two really big end credit scenes that people are kind of spoiling.
People are jerks.
People are jerks. So if you're out there on the internet looking for like, hey, how'd the Eternals do like with their premiere, with the critics, or however else... Be careful what reviews you read, or be careful where you search for it, because
for sure.
You might accidentally stumble on a
spoiler. And we can say the early buzz is great.
Everyone's
tweeting that this is like one of their favorite Marvel movies.
Well, it's Chloe Zhao. I know you really like her directing.
Yeah, she's great.
And then you have such a huge cast in it, too. And then it's obviously a new Marvel thing, so you're not getting the same old characters, the same old origin stories or anything like that. It's a newer thing. So.
Yeah,
it's hard to flop with such an all-star cast, too. You know?
Oh, for sure.
I think people are going to see it no matter, like, it's just Angelina Jolie. It's half of Game of Thrones. It's
Jon Snow.
Yes, there you go. Kit Harington and Robert... Madden?
Richard Madden.
Richard Madden. That's close. I
went played
Robert,
Rob Stark.
Rob Stark,
so
you know,
close.
There you go. So Richard Madden.
Yeah.
And then Penelope Cruz. Or not Penelope Cruz. Salma Hayek,
yeah.
I get those mixed up.
You can keep going. You say it, they're in it. Apparently, Kumail Nanjiani is just hilarious in it. People love him in this movie, so.
Forgot about him being in it, so there you go. Another one.
We can't name everyone. There's too many. But, yeah, the early buzz is great. I will say this typically does happen when people get to go to the big premiere of something that's so highly anticipated. They want to get their take out first, and they're like, oh, my God, it's incredible. But I do think it'll be good. Because
I'm okay with the reviews of saying, oh, my gosh, it's incredible, or oh, my gosh,
I
can't wait to see it, or this is terrible, don't even watch it, you know, whichever. Perfectly fine with that. Just
don't spoil it.
Don't spoil. Don't have this big reveal that they have in the movie and be like, hey, you guys should this big reveal happen. And you're like, why? That's what happened. Well, might talk about that later, but that happened to me for another thing, and I never got to experience the joy of experiencing everybody else.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Okay, it happens.
You know, I will say I saw one review that has me more excited for this movie. It was a film critic, and he said, this does not feel like a Marvel movie. It feels like a Chloe Zhao movie.
And I know you really like Chloe Zhao.
Yeah.
So and this is her first dive, which nobody thought she would, into kind of the superhero genre, because she's not that... Yeah.
Her movies are more like meditative, you know, wide, establishing, slow burn, things like that. What so was it? I'm totally into it.
What was it?
That's right. Slow Burn.
Slow Burn.
TM.
I saw something about Angelina Jolie. The only reason she really accepted, she was surprised that Chloe Zhao went into it. And then she kind of heard Chloe Zhao talk about she's going to make her movie. And she was in after that. That was why she wanted to do it, is because it was Chloe Zhao. And Chloe Zhao was making it her own, not just following the same old kind of thing. So, very interesting. The last news we kind of have, just some brief news. Oppenheimer, it's a film. It's a Christopher Nolan film. I know you love Christopher Nolan. Yeah, if you've heard of him. Tenet, Dunkirk.
Yeah, The Prestige, The Dark Knight Trilogy. Yeah.
Inception.
Interstellar.
Interstellar. Again, we can go on and on.
Memento.
We can go on and on with Nolan. It's Cillian Murphy playing J. Robert Oppenheimer, who was the lead scientist on the Manhattan Project, which was the project that created the atomic bombs that hit Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, in the World War II.
Yeah.
I almost said the year, 1945. That works too.
History major here.
Exactly, history major. Bet you didn't know that. But really, the only other news here, it's already been announced and everything like that, so that wasn't new. I believe already knew Cillian Murphy was playing J. Robert Oppenheimer, or at least he was involved with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's talks that Emily Blunt will play the wife
of Cillian Murphy
in the movie.
I want that to happen.
Wife of Oppenheimer. And that's all I really know about it. What I'm getting from it, it's a Nolan movie, so it's going to be... Are they going to do some kind of sci-fi thing with it?
Because
it's Nolan, you know?
People feel like this is not like a Nolan topic, but...
Dunkirk, his historical movie.
Right, you know? But he did find a way to still play with time. That's what he loves doing. He loves to play with time.
I mean, he's going to do that with the atomic atomic bomb launch. He's going to play with time.
It'll be nonlinear. There'll be different perspectives. Yes. He's going to do his thing.
I think it'll be... I mean, I'm very interested in this because this, you know, the Manhattan Project is such a talked about subject, not only because they created two of the, you know, however you want to look at it, most horrible weapons ever, but then also that they're using so many Nazi scientists. I mean, this is Project Paperclip, which is using Nazi scientists to do what they didn't want the Nazis to do, basically saying, hey, these Nazi scientists figured this out, we better stop them, oh, we'll just use them for ourselves, kind of thing. Please play into that, like that. Everybody is interested in that, you know. Oppenheimer, I believe, was a he was either a Jewish scientist or a German scientist. I don't really know which, but he was one of them, which is very interesting.
So many fascinating angles.
Is Einstein going to be in this movie?
Who's that?
Wasn't Einstein involved in the Manhattan Project?
Oh, I don't know, but the thing is, that's a good thing
I'm going to say that, and I'm a history major, and somebody's going to listen to that and be like, you moron, Einstein was already dead or something like that, you know?
But Michael Caine will not be in this movie. He's retiring.
Well, I saw two things on that. I saw that he retired, but then didn't actually retire, and he's reading scripts.
Still. Interesting. See, I didn't see that. I just saw that.
I saw that he...
The great Sir Michael Caine
came out and said he was retiring, but then, I don't know, a day later, one of the sites...
He got the script for Oppenheimer.
Yeah, maybe so. A day later, somebody came out and said, contrary to all these announcements, he is not actually retiring and still reading scripts.
Okay.
So, might retire... May not be retired.
Long live Michael Caine.
I guess so. Great actor.
Love him.
And that will do it for our teasers and such. And now that we're wrapped up with our teasers, we can touch on the last thing we wanted to talk about. Squid Game.
Yeah.
The most popular show ever on Netflix.
That is insane to me.
It's crazy. It's even crazier because it's a foreign show. It's not in English.
Yeah,
and I figured Netflix would be the most popular in America, but apparently, I mean, it is most popular in America, but still, apparently that doesn't matter for this kind of stuff.
I mean, they have huge reach overseas as well, but also they did try a German series as well called Dark that's pretty popular, but it's not like mega popular.
Well, there's other shows. There's that French show too where he's
Lupin.
Thank you. You already know what I'm talking about. Art Thief, and that one's pretty popular as well, but it's not reaching the level of Squid Game.
Yeah,
nothing
Squid Game
has
everywhere.
Reached the level of Squid Game. The memes are everywhere.
The memes.
Talking about that, I never watch it because I got it spoiled for me early on. We mentioned don't look at spoilers for the Eternals. I love Twitter, so I like to be on Twitter. Also like to, you know, look at memes because who doesn't?
Yeah.
And you know, memes just like to spoil sometimes. So I got it spoiled. And in fairness to the memes, because you got to be fair to the memes.
Yeah, always.
I waited a while before I watched it. You know, I had other people watching it and everything like that, but I was watching Ted Lasso, watching The Morning Show, watching other things, watching movies, and I just never got around to it. And then by the time I was thinking about watching it, I had already seen everything.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. So
spoilers are the worst.
If you haven't seen Squid Game, don't listen anymore because we're going to spoil the rest of it.
Like, just like the memes.
Just like the memes. But if you have seen Squid Game, it is very Hunger Games-esque. They're a bunch of in debt. I'm probably going to butcher this, Jeff, because I haven't seen it, but this is what I've gotten from the memes and from everything else. So it's a bunch of in debt people. It's a Korean show. In debt people in Korea getting asked if they want to play this game to win this amount of won, which is the Korean currency. Don't really know the amount. Again, haven't seen it. So this is the synopsis of somebody who hasn't seen it. I bet you guys love that. So, and then they basically play these children's games. And then if they fail at these children's games, they get killed.
Incredibly violent.
Incredibly violent. Children's games. You know, the first one's red light, green light. Sadistic and also a Korean take, because I know that the doll that is used as the robot in it was actually in Korean, like, childhoods. It's hard to explain. I saw some interviews with the cast and them talking about that's like a very known character in Korean culture.
Okay.
And then there's the honeycomb, which is also a Korean tradition that you get these cut out pieces, and the people who make these honeycombs will say, hey, if you are able to cut it out perfectly, you get a prize.
Yeah.
And it's actually just a scam because they're so hard to cut out perfectly that you just keep buying. I'm trying to get the prize, and you never get the prize. Or if you do, by the time you've got it, you've well overpaid for the prize. Third game, I believe it's Tug of War. Okay, wow, look at me. Look at me. And then fourth game, you've Pebble Game. Can you explain the Pebble Game?
They were basically given 20 marbles.
Marbles.
Yeah, and they were told, essentially, you and your partner that you choose, because you choose before the game, even though you don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Turns out you're against each other, and you have to use the marbles. In a game, whatever game, whether you make it up, whether it's a game you know, you have to play a game, and then the loser is going to die.
Cool. And then you actually have the Squid Game, which is another popular, very popular Korean children's game, is the Squid Game.
Yeah.
Can you explain the Squid Game?
Not really. I think you have basically like this area that's in bounds that you have to stay in.
And you're on like, are you on 1 foot to start off? Or
yeah, and then you can't go both feet until you get into another certain area. And then you have to eventually get to the squid, which I guess is the tree, and you got to get in unless you kill your opponent. I don't know. It makes no sense to me, but.
Well, there you go. There's. Yeah. Oh, and I forgot the glass floor game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the fifth game. Yeah.
Fifth game. So that's after the pebbles, or after the marbles, before the squid game, which you basically are walking on this glass floor trying to see which zones don't fall to the ground and kill you.
Right, they're side by side. One of them is will break and the other will not. So you have to choose, and the only way to know is to jump. So
there you go. And then of course we have the twist at the end that prisoner, captive, debt in debt E 001, the old man, is so old. Actually the one who is in charge of the Squid Game, or
he's behind it.
He's behind the whole thing. It's the big twist that everybody hates, that a lot of people say doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, for one, because earlier on in the game, when they have a vote to decide whether they will continue after the first game or not, it's 100 to 100 until he comes up to vote. He's the final vote, of course. It's a TV series. You got to amp up the drama. And he votes to quit, meaning everyone gets to go home because of majority vote. Why would he do that if he's in on it?
Well, like you pointed out,
no sense.
Like you have told me, Jeff, that the fact that he quits, they actually all end up coming back because they're so in debt and living in debt, and they would rather die than be in this much debt.
Sure. I mean, I guess based on experience. So maybe
he knew that they would all come back, and he didn't want to, you know,
give it away
that he was, in fact, the one behind it all.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Think about it, Jeff. Come on.
We'll go with that.
Come on. But yeah, this is obviously, we mentioned it's the most popular show ever. The director, I'm sure, bless you, Jeff. The director, I'm sure you've seen, or I guess the show creator, created it, I think, back in 2012. It was like 8 years ago or something like that. No one would take it. No one wanted to produce it. He actually had to sell his laptop that he wrote the whole thing on just to feed himself. And then, of course, Netflix eventually buys it, produces it.
Yeah.
And it is the biggest show ever on Netflix. So, wow, what a turnaround
for
that guy.
Such a cool story.
Yeah, great story. But, you know, it's very Hunger Games-esque. You get a lot of that. If you've seen the Belko experiment, which that was, do we say that was James Gunn?
I believe it is, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Very similar to that. The Belko experiment is a movie about an office complex that basically gets put in a situation where they have to choose, they have to kill a certain amount of people every hour, or they have chips in their brain that the whoever's behind it will just start killing people.
Yeah, and James Gunn wrote that movie. He didn't
direct wrote it. Sorry, yeah. Wrote that movie. So that's very similar to the Belko experiment, that you kind of are pitted against each other, but on a team at the same time kind of thing, where you're trying to decide who to die, who dies in certain moments. I know you do that in Squid Game.
Yeah.
You're trying to decide who lives, but then you're also trying to keep each other alive a little bit at the same time.
Well, it definitely clicks develop.
Hunger Games as well. Yeah. Very similar to that. I don't know. It's hard to say. I guess the curiosity of people behind violence, they always want to see violence. It's similar to what we talked about with Silence of the Lambs. People's curiosity about serial killers and their curiosity of what they would do in the situation, you know, putting themselves in the situation. How would they fare if they were pitted against all these people and had to do these childlike games kind of thing. I thought it was very interesting that it's a foreign film or foreign show that did this. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we even talked about this before we started the show, is that Parasite really paved the way. It's popular and successful as it was. It literally won Best Picture at the Oscars. So,
is it the first foreign film to do that? Isn't that right?
I believe it's the first foreign language film, yes.
Yeah, that's what that's what I meant, foreign language film to win.
So I think that really paved the way for shows like this as well, to get, you know, people willing to read the subtitles. A lot of people are probably watching the dubbed as well, which is a sin.
How do you watch the dubbed? I've heard of people watching the dubbed. How do you do that?
I don't understand.
It bothers me when I'm watching in English and they're like, you know how sometimes your TV will lag or something and they're like, you know, a millisecond behind. I'm like, I can't turn off it and retry or something.
I don't understand. But also, I think the Hunger Games aspect of it as well, really, as popular as that was, you know, it's just something fascinating about that, as humans.
Something fascinating about humans killing other humans. And it's like the evolution, the you know, strongest man wins.
Right, their primal nature.
Yeah, it's very weird.
I think you kind of pinpointed it, though, when you said people like to put themselves in those shoes and think, what would I do? How would I act? Would I be scared? Would I run? Would I fight?
Right. You know? And like I said, similar to the serial killer, what brought them? What's their headspace like? You know, why are they killing other people? You know, and people are so drawn to that. It's I guess their headspace of how, you know, how would I fare? Would I kill people? Would I be able to kill somebody to save my own life? Would I be able to survive these childlike games? Would I quit or would I keep going to get out of debt kind of thing?
Right.
It probably speaks to a lot of people, too, that are kind of broke right now, especially pandemic stuff, you know, too.
How far are you willing to go to make money?
Yeah.
How far?
So I think that's all very interesting. Like you said, Parasite kind of paved the way. But since you've watched this, Jeff, I do want to pick your brain about it a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's start off with this. Give me your review of it.
I thought it was hit or miss. I thought there were episodes that were pretty well done and enjoyable. And, you know, it's got the whole page turner aspect. Like, you know what? I can binge this. Let's see what happens next. It's also some episodes that are not as good. Overall, I see why it was successful. It's not my favorite show I've ever seen. I think it's somewhere in the middle. Like, I think on Letterboxd, I gave it like a 58 or something like that.
Wow. It's kind of low.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really surprised by the mass praise of the show. Again, it's not bad by any means. It's just, I don't know what it is that sets it apart from so many similar things. Like, there's literally a movie called Battle Royale, and I believe that's a Japanese movie from the 90s. And Quentin Tarantino said that is the only movie ever that he didn't write that he wishes he would have directed.
Wow.
And it's essentially Hunger Games, but with teenagers at a high school, and it's really violent. And this is so similar to that. So I don't really understand what it is about this time now that's just made this so successful. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very, like I said, I mean, it's we can say, oh, we can say it a million times, keep saying it. It's very Hunger Games, but with the aspect of, I guess, a little bit more volunteering to do it. I guess you don't know that you're going to die in the beginning of it, but you still, you, again, they come back, so they know there's a chance of them dying. So I guess there's more of a volunteer aspect, more of, there's a lot more advantages to winning than Hunger Games, pretty much. Instead of being a puppet, you're just getting the money and can be done with it after that.
I think it's one thing that Parasite actually does touch on is, you know, what poverty will causes you to do. I think Parasite is much more sophisticated than
this. So we talked about this in our first episode of Parasite. Go back and listen if you haven't. is poverty a bigger deal in Korean culture than it is here? Like, does poverty put you down more? Is it more impossible to get out of poverty there than it is here? You know, you obviously have government advantages here, with, you know, you can get on food stamps, you can, you know, there's homeless shelters, if nothing else. There's a little bit more ability to get out of debt or to be protected from, you know, starving to death or you know, whatever else. Whereas in Korea, it feels like a death sentence just with with the film. Oh, this is, again, I've never been to Korea. I don't know Korean culture. It's not like I'm an expert or anything like that. I'm going off of movies and TV shows, which when has that ever helped you discover somebody's culture? But just from Parasite and Squid Game and stuff like that, like, I wonder, you know, brings back that question back up is what is poverty like over there, you know?
Right. And that's definitely the statement they're making here is when these people, they see how devastating that first game is and the violence and all the people that died in brutal ways. And yet they still are willing to come back just for the slight, small 1% chance that you'll be the one to get that money. So again, not as sophisticated as Parasite, but a really strong message though.
For sure. For sure. And I think it adds another aspect that they're doing children's games. Mm-hmm. And again, this is Korean culture. And I did watch an interview with the cast and I believe the director was there too. About how these were very popular. All of these were very popular children's games or in their culture, you know. So as Americans, obviously, these are new games to us, or semi-new, you know, obviously Tug of War, we know, obviously, you know, stuff like that.
Red Light, Green Light,
just a different spin on it. I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah, it adds another aspect to the Hunger Games, like, because it's just a little bit different concept there. Yeah. Instead of just killing each other, you actually have games to play. To win,
right? And also in Hunger Games you're drafted,
correct?
Here it's
volunteer,
they volunteer, so
yeah. Let me ask you this, Jeff. So you got your review of it. What was your kind of, what'd you like about it, what you didn't like about it?
We've already touched a little on the things that I did enjoy. I will say my favorite of the games is the glass segment when they have to make the choice, because again, we talk about putting yourself in those shoes. I cannot imagine being on that platform and having the jump, knowing that there's a 50-50 chance you're going to fall to your death.
Could they not? I guess it was far enough away that it was, you had to jump. There was no way to like test it.
But there's also the interesting twist to it is that there is a time limit. So if you are holding up the people behind you, they will shove you because they're not going to wait on you. But also they might be a little reluctant as well to want to do that because they want you to go first so they can see what the right path is. So I just thought that.
How'd they decide who went
first?
Was it just kind of whoever was bold enough to do it?
I'm trying to remember how that happened, actually. I think the remaining people actually went and chose a number. And whichever one you chose is how you would go.
Okay.
And I believe the main character actually gets the very last number, and he thought he was going to die because of that. Because somebody begged him to let him have number one, and he got the feeling bad and let him have it. And number one ended up being a death sentence. So, yeah.
There you go.
They obviously didn't know what the game was going to be, but they did choose their numbers.
Right.
Okay. So I thought that was really well shot, really well made. The tension was amped up pretty high. I was totally into that episode.
Yeah, again, I think, you know, we can go back with other popular TV shows back in time and different, you know, mediums. Doesn't have to necessarily be Netflix or whatever else. You know, you get the most popular shows tend to be the ones that leave you on cliffhangers, that leave you like, okay, it may not even been the best episode ever, but they're leaving me on such a cliffhanger that I've got to watch the next one. You know, even if it's a bad episode, like, I've got to see what happens next. So I think Squid Game did a really.
I finished it.
Squid Game. I know who can believe.
Yeah,
does that. So, last question was Squid Game. Then we can be done with it. Mm-hmm. Do you think Netflix will try and push more foreign shows because of the success of this one?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Obviously. Talented filmmakers aren't just strictly in America, right? Like, they're obviously around the world, and you can get these really unique approaches and, you know, different filmmaking styles, different genres, different subgenres, different topics, because people from different parts of the world will have different perspectives, obviously, and they can give us something new. So I think, why wouldn't you? If somebody is from South Korea and they're super talented and have an awesome project, why not go for it? We obviously see that American audiences are willing to watch now.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they absolutely.
We obviously, this kind of proves the, which we already talked about Parasite kind of leading the way, but this kind of solidifies that you can make a very popular film or show from a different, you know, it doesn't have to be in English, and you can still be very successful.
And we even see this with the popularity of anime. Like, there's a lot of people that are into anime. There's
a lot of people into anime, and then, you know, I feel like it has to, there's a lot of British shows that are very popular as well, so it's not just necessarily foreign speaking, but this kind of will, I feel like it opens the door even more to more foreign speaking film and shows to gain popularity and be able to read subtitles.
Now that we know people are willing to read subtitles, or if you're a sicko and you listen to the dubbed, whatever. We know audiences are willing.
I think you just have, it has to be a good enough story.
Yeah. I will say, I forgot to mention the bad parts.
Okay.
Steven, listen, you need to at least watch like a YouTube clip of when the Americans show up in Squid Game.
Don't they? I saw, okay, a meme. This is why, the only reason I know about this. Americans are like really dumb, right?
Dude, not only are they dumb, which, I mean, that doesn't bother me. Should I be offended? No, I mean, I'm not offended. It's whatever. A lot of, whatever. We're all dumb. Kidding. Whatever. Just but the acting is atrocious.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't translate. Maybe I guess if I'm on a film set and I'm trying to direct someone who, you know, speaks a different language, I may not understand their gestures or their cadence or whatever to understand. And I think maybe there was like a cultural disconnect here, because the acting is an abomination by the Americans. It is horrible.
Again, the only reason I know about this is from the memes, but I've heard that the Americans that show up in Squid Game are very weird.
They're weird.
Very dumb, very like bad. Yeah.
Yeah, but do the acting, and not even, it's not even like the characters they're playing. The acting is just atrocious.
Really?
It is unbelievable how bad
it
is.
I'll have to look up a clip.
Especially because the Korean actors in this are so good.
Right.
And so believable.
I would say just the facial expressions of the main character.
Yeah, especially
with the smile that he takes in the first picture, and then, you know, his horror face and all the other. Again, I'm just going off the memes here. So
I love that meme.
Know, yeah, and then, you know, the meme of the prisoner 001 or whatever, volunteer 001, of him sitting in like the, almost looks like a slide or whatever. I don't know what it is, but him like holding his knees again.
It's like introverts at parties. And then it shows him smiling. It's like introverts with people they know. That's my favorite one.
Again, we can go on the memes all day, because there's 11,000, like all the memes of the guy catching the other guy in Red Light, Green Light too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a million places, so we could go on forever. And then this is going to be the most popular Halloween costume you see this year, so get ready for that. For ready for so many copycats of...
We should do it.
Good game. No, absolutely not.
Slow burn Halloween.
I refuse to copycat Jeff.
You're not a follower. I respect that.
I'm not a follower. I'm a trendsetter.
Yeah, for sure.
Trendsetter. You should be Michael Myers.
And do that dance from the TikTok.
Yes, yeah. from our Instagram, which you should go follow if you haven't already.
What are
our
you
listeners
doing?
Need to go follow us on Instagram. Well, I believe that wraps up our show. We wanted to get the Squid Game review out there while it's still popular, and you know, cling off the back of popularity a little bit there. So there'll be 100 hashtags on this that just say Squid Game for no reason. Squid Games, Squid Game.
Yep.
Everything. Every hashtag that involves Squid Game, I'm just going to let you know, this is for the listeners that actually listen to the whole show. You're not going to know what that means, but I'm definitely 100% now going to post it with 100 hashtags with something to do with Squid Game.
Please do that.
I am. I just, so you know, this is the inside joke for all the people who actually listen.
Mm-hmm.
It will have 100 hashtags.
Shout out to you guys.
So that'll wrap up our show. We did want to, like I said, there's so many teasers and stuff out there, and we weren't able to, sadly, we're not able to watch Hocus Pocus for the fans, but hopefully we're hoping to do that in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Just after Halloween, just kind of wrap up our Spooktober kind of thing.
Lori will be back.
Yes. Squid Game kind of fits in our Spooktober. I feel like it fits. But the next week, the reason we're not doing another horror movie is because a movie that Jeff and I have been waiting for like 2 years, because it's been delayed for like 2 years, and it's finally coming out, and I'm going to see it this weekend. I know Jeff is going to see it this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It is Dune. Dune is finally coming out this weekend, and we both really want to watch it, and we've both been dying to, so we will have a review of that next week, and obviously if you're a little later watching it, listen to it later, because it will have spoilers in it. We'll have what we liked, what we didn't like, favorite shots, favorite scenes, everything like that. So
get ready for a 5-hour episode.
Yeah, it will be long. I'm sure this will be reminiscent. We spoke about it earlier, our Parasite episode, that was forever long, and me giving a 20-minute synopsis about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I will not be able to contain myself of giving a 20-minute synopsis for this movie, but that will be next week. And then the week after, we're hoping to have Lori back on. Sorry, I'm allergic to Lori, apparently. And that will wrap up our Squid Game trailer episode.
Yep.
That thing. That episode.
It's done.
This one. Hashtag Squid Game.